Get the ball and put it in the goal.
Get the ball and put it in the goal.
Get the ball and put it in the goal.
Gotta get the ball and put it in the goal.
Get the ball and put it in the goal.
Get the ball and put it in the goal.
There's really nothing to it.
Absolutely nothing to it.
Hello everyone and welcome to It'll Go to Penalties. My name is Michael Smiley. I'm your host for this evening. Happy days, I never hosted anything. Well, apart from that party back in 74, we don't want to talk about that, do we? Oh, the joys of Nip and Tuck and Rivita. But anyway, let's push on. So I've got three guests tonight, but one hasn't turned up. Umud Jalali. Is it Jalulu? Is it Jalila? Is it Jalalalili?
Jalulu?
Jalili? Jalili? Is it Jalili? If he does turn up, maybe he can change it. But I think it's Jalulu. Jalulu, like a big girl. But he hasn't turned up yet anyway, a lovely Umud. Promised he'd turn up, so we're going to see if he can keep his promises. And we also have with us international raconteur, comedian, actor, bon viveur, father, lover, poet, gambler, and midget, Andy Smart.
Thank you. How are you?
Standing in as well is the lovely Mike Lee from
Hello, Michael.
How you doing?
Hello.
From the Spurs podcast.
The Spurs show. Yeah.
Spurs show.
Just the Spurs show.
Just the Spurs show.
And what a show.
It's not a podcast, is it?
Well, it is.
Is it a podcast?
We call it the Spurs show.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The Spurs show podcast.
Oh, man. Touchy, yeah. Spurs fans, aren't they?
Well, you know.
Yeah, all right. Just gives you a chance.
You know why Omid's not here?
Why is that?
Because he's Iranian.
Oh, that'll be it.
Well, yeah. They're not in it.
They didn't get in. Well, Ireland aren't in it. So no. I still turned up. But man, I'd turn up to anything. I was offered a can of Stella. You know, may have been chucked out of the house, living in the car on my nerves. So here we are, into the last week of the World Cup. I think it's been one of the best World Cups we've had yet. What do you think?
Really?
Yes,
really.
I think it's brilliant.
It's been fantastic. The shock results, and we've had different styles of play. I mean, I'm obviously a defender, so I'm quite happy with a 0-0 game. That makes me happy, very happy, watching people kick people up in the air. But my highlight has to be when Ronaldo went down for about the sixth time against Spain, and the referee just went, "No, I'm not having it." And that just made me laugh so much.
What's been your favourite game, Mike?
I think probably so far Slovakia Italy. When Italy lost, that was something, because they so nearly came back and did it. It was one of those unbelievable games.
It just looked so slow,
though,
didn't it?
You know, I think, yeah, I think that was the one.
The Argentinian German match was amazing, though.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Well, I had money on Argentina, so not really. Went down the Swan.
Yeah, we're not talking about gambling at the moment, just yet. Even though you can gamble with Paddy Power if you want.
Yeah.
We're going to be giving away some free bets later, aren't we?
No, we've had all the free bets now, but I will be giving people special bets.
You've had them all.
Yeah.
Get smart. The man with his finger on the bets.
Absolutely.
And so, how did you feel about England going out? Because, you know, and me being a neutral, I was quite ambivalent towards the whole thing. I think the England turned up as a wee bit arrogant and deserved everything they got.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't know whether they were that arrogant. I think there was more that the press built it up so much, and it was. I don't think the FA did them any favours by calling them back for the friendly against Mexico from Austria. Because if you're going to do altitude training, you do it for like 10 days solid and get the altitude training. You don't come back halfway through to sea level and play a friendly against Mexico and then go back up. That surely, I mean, that's why I thought Rooney was playing so badly against Algeria. He just didn't have the altitude training. He didn't have the legs. He was just,
oh my God.
I just don't think he was fully fit from the end of the season.
But
no offence, but I love hearing English excuses pre, during and post World Cup. Somebody should write a thesis on English excuses in international football. It'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? Right. It was metatarsal.
Gerrard and Lampard playing in the same position,
exactly
again.
In the middle of the pitch. Absolutely, yeah. Rooney being unfit. Ferdinand not being there. Capello not being able to.
Terry stirring it up in the camp.
Gerrard. A bit of extra curriculum, and then you had Andy Cole, who was just like Onanist of the Year award goes to Andy Cole.
Yeah.
He just knock him on out in the back of the school bus, wasn't he, constantly? No wonder he didn't have any energy to get up that wing.
I think you meant Ashley, though, didn't you?
Hey,
not Andy.
Oh, Andy. So
yeah,
Ashley.
Yeah, yeah. Ashley Cole.
Not my glorious Andy Cole. Yeah. No, please God, no. Please, not him. No,
I don't think it's even Andy Cole now. It's Andrew Cole.
Yes, it is.
Of course it is.
That's right, yeah.
So what do you reckon? What do you think's been the problem with these sort of talismanic players that has been retired?
The curse of the Nike advert, yeah.
You reckon?
Well, yeah, no, I mean, it's just too much expected of them. And also, they're just knackered. I mean, like this, as they were saying last night, the Spanish team have been, or Saturday night, they were playing, the Spanish team have been playing for 35 months solidly. It's just, it's crazy to expect someone, it's like doing the Tour de France, isn't it? It's like, it's just they haven't got the fitness levels. They haven't. They need a break. We need, all the European leagues need to have a break to give, give them a chance to sort of recuperate at Christmas.
Mm. There was an interesting thing. Change the subject slightly about when Germany did badly at a previous tournament, how they changed everything. Yeah, within their league.
They decided to make it. Yeah.
You know, they really got...
Well, that's not going to happen with the FA.
It's not, is it? But you just sort of think... the annoys you about these conversations is every 4 years or every 2 years, we have the same conversations. Nothing ever changes. And until the FA does something or are made to do something or the Premier League are made to do something, nothing will ever change. We'll get new young generations coming through and the same thing will happen. You know, if you look at our record... 1966, apart from that, what, we reached one semi-final of the World Cup and one semi-final of the European Championships from memory.
Yeah.
That's it. That's awful. That's absolutely dreadful.
But we haven't got the coaches, we haven't got the Premiership teams, haven't got the youth academies anymore.
No.
They're making huge amounts of money and they're not putting it back into the game. They're just taking it out as loans.
So you either decide the domestic football and Champions League football is the most important thing to fans and everything and be done with it, or changed anything. And the problem is, I support a Premiership team, and if in fairness, if you say to me England in the World Cup, Tottenham in the Premier League, because I've never seen it in my lifetime, I'll go for Spurs. The thing is, following England, when you go and follow England, which I've done, you'll get the support from all the little clubs that will never ever win trophies and do anything.
Well, like Farmer.
This is you're a Farmer fan. Well, there you are, and it becomes a big thing. So for fans like that, it is more infuriating, but if you support a bigger team, is it as important?
What do you think the problem is? I'm thinking there's not that many, England players that are in the England team who play outside the English Premier League.
That's right.
Do you know what I mean? And most of the foreign players that are playing in England go on to do brilliantly for their countries, whereas in England, the England players are all playing for the English Premier League
because the money's here.
But also, shouldn't they go away and learn how to play a different style and learn another culture, another language?
Then in 2006, the Italians won it with only players that played in the Italian league. So, there's arguments for both sides there.
You can't really compare the Italians to the English, or to
well, they, come on, they do eat better, don't they?
They do eat better. better hand gestures as well.
Yeah.
So, what do you reckon? I was quite upset to see Argentina go out, and
because you have money on it.
I like Maradona, and I wanted to see them do well, but it sort of lessens it slightly with England going out to Germany that actually Argentina did worse than us.
I think for me the Germans have been the revelation of this World Cup. Yeah. They've done everything right in that sense. What you were saying, they went away and rethought, and they brought back. And the best thing that could ever happen to them was Ballack getting injured.
Yeah, because then the FA Cup final got put in that position,
and it was youth with its tail up playing together. as a unit, it was fantastic.
Playing as a team, not a group of individuals, which was England's problem and Argentina's problem, Brazil's problem, especially against Holland. They just looked like, once they went behind, they just didn't have any sort of team effort. It was just all these individuals just getting cross with each other.
Which is unusual, because you expect the Dutch to be like that. You expect the Dutch to be a bit more huffy and a wee bit more, where they're a collection of geniuses as opposed to a team. And for them to actually play as a team against the Brazilians, again, brilliant. But I think, for me, the Germans have been the revelation of the World Cup.
Sad but true.
And fair play to them. Consistently, they've been vilified over the years. It's just, you've got to watch them. And watch out for them, because they'll grind out a result. They haven't ground out results. They've went out and played beautifully. You've got to put your hands up to that one.
Do you think now, cool. I mean, I thought Spain looked tired against Paraguay, and you could argue a little bit lucky with the decisions. Do you think you see Germany beating?
He decided
Spain?
To have the penalty, the penalties halfway through the game instead of after extra time.
Yeah, exactly. It's a great way of doing it.
Let's cut to the chase.
Well, I think the other thing that the Germans have got to their advantage is they're unknown. really, you know what I mean? The Germans could analyse the Argentinians and work out how to play them best, you know, to nullify Messi and annoy Heinze, you know, and trip up Tevez and, you know, get the Argentinians, get their back up and you get out.
But they've definitely got a team spirit there, Germany, but I think Spain do as well. I think Spain
They play. I mean, the little sort of triangle passes that they do, it's incredible. It's just when they get near the goal, unless it's Villa, it's not going to go in. If it's Torres or anyone else.
He's having a nightmare, isn't he, Torres?
Yeah.
You think he's fully fit?
But he's been playing in the Premiership where there's been no winter break. So, you know, again, he's, you know.
But if it's a Dutch-Germany final, then that's just going to be, that's going to be brilliant,
isn't it? I actually went to...
For old rivalries, it's going to be
brilliant. The best game of football I ever saw was Holland-Germany in 92 in Gothenburg in the group stages of the Euro Championships. And it was just the most incredible game of football I've ever seen. It was Dutch total football against the German sort of... regimented playing through the formation, and it was an incredible, I think it would be a great final, actually. It would be an incredible final to see.
And it's got, because it's got all the history behind it as well.
Well, yeah. Well, the fighting that day before the game was, the fans weren't holding back.
In this World Cup as well, you know, the Dutch and the Germans are playing against form. What do you expect of the Dutch? What do you expect of the Germans? They've thrown that out the window and they're playing completely different football than what's expected of them. So that might be a very interesting final. What do you think the final's going to be, Mike?
Oh, dear. I'd like to see Spain. Well, you know, I'd love to see Spain Uruguay, to be quite honest. But I think it will be. I've just got a feeling Germany will do it again. I just think Germany got that momentum. Might go to extra time, might go to penalties or something. But I could see it being Germany Holland now. You know,
Andy.
I think Germany Holland. I think that's the way it's going now. But
Are we completely writing off Uruguay?
In the comedy store sweepstake, I've got Uruguay and Spain, so that would be perfect for me. But that game I saw in Gothenburg, the trouble before the game was incredible. The fighting between the fans, I've never seen fight. It was worse than any hooliganism I've seen in this country, and there's been none in South Africa at all, has there? I mean, is that because everyone just it's too expensive, or it's?
I think so.
Is it?
I think it's got a lot to do with it.
Or is it that people were scared to go to South Africa, or that South African police have got it right? Or?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to mess with South African cops.
I think it's a mixture of all of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
I have messed with the South African cops. And
have you?
Of course I've heard.
That's a legendary story that will never be told. Except around a campfire at 4 in the morning with a girl with a jaunty sailor's hat.
I've got some bets here. I mean, it's been for betting, it's been an unbelievable World Cup because it's been changing every other game.
The bookies must have made a fortune.
I think they must have done because people would have had money on England. But in saying that,
I had 2-1 for the Dutch,
really,
and didn't put it on.
Well, there you are. You see, always go with your head. Spain, in fairness, though, were the pre-tournament favourites of 4-1, and they're still there. You can now get 15-8 on Spain to win it, which I think is not bad. So we're at the semi-final stages. Germany before the tournament were 14-1, and they're now 21-10. Holland were 12s, they're 21-10. Uruguay were 101 before the tournament, now 11-1. Player of the tournament, Villa was 14-1 before the tournament, he's now 5-2. Schneider was 25, he's now 7-2. Schweinsteiger was 40-1 before the tournament, he's now 5-1. Top scorer, again, they've got it right. Villa was favourite before at 9-1, he's now 9-4 on. Closer is now 4-1. He was 28. Schneider's 10-1. Name the final. We said it might. We reckon it might be Germany Holland. That was 13-8 before the tournament. You could have got 50-1. Wow. Naming a Germany Holland final. Germany Uruguay. You could have got 400-1. Extraordinary noises going on.
I'm just being passed a piece of paper by a blind man with gloves on.
Paper boys here.
So, I mean, if you want any of those odds, if you go to PaddyPower.com/World Cup, if you haven't had your free £20 bet yet, go and do that. Just sign up and get £20 credited to your account. Most money has gone on Holland. Holland are the most backed of recently. Villa was the most backed player throughout the tournament. Closer now 6-1, as I said. because of the World Cup goals.
See, that's
he's banging
closer in. Closer at 6-1. That's got to be.
So it's 4-1 now. Oh, totally. It's 4-1.
Well, that was quick. That came down. Really,
yeah, there
quick.
You are.
Stop talking.
Just because I mentioned it.
Exactly.
Stop talking. Use your hands. Use
they're
your
also hand. They're also Paddy Pad. They're doing a World Cup money back special. If both World Cup semi-finals end 0-0 after 90 minutes, which I can't see happening, to be quite honest, they'll refund all losing first, last goal scorer, correct score, and scorecard singles on that match. There's some other odds I will give you. Which team will score most semi-final goals? 5-4 Holland, 5-2 Spain, 11-4 Germany, 15-2 Uruguay. This is interesting. Ozil of Germany, which is the next club he'll play for? Chelsea are favourites, really? To sign him at 7-2. Man United 4-1.
They're putting a bid for Schweinsteiger, haven't they?
Have they? Well, there
25
you are.
Million.
Oh, I didn't know that. There you are. First to sign for another club, Fabregas. Still the bookies reckon 9-4 he's the favourite still to leave. But anyway, go to paddypower.com/worldcup. Loads more bets. Player of the tournament, man of the match in the semi-final, Uruguay, Holland, Schneider 11-4 if he gets man of the match, Robin 7-2, Van Persie 9-2 in the Germany Spain game. See, they fancy it closer, 4-1, Ozil 5-1, Schweinsteiger 6-1.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult to call, isn't it, from the beginning?
Oh, but from the start, yeah. Mm. You wouldn't have predicted this.
Absolutely not.
This lineup for the semis at all.
Which is great.
Which is great. You know, that's what a tournament should all be about.
Yeah.
Definitely. And I think that's what the World Cup, what makes it so exciting. Mm. You know what I mean? And it would have been nice for England to have, you know, turned up and had a good crack
up.
At it. Just turned up, yes. Yes,
well, Alex. Played as a team.
Exactement, as I say in France. Listen, a thing today, I was talking to my wife, my good lady wife, and she's become obsessed with the World Cup, which is great to see, you know what I mean? I was asking her like what she enjoys about it, but the main thing I wanted to know is, for somebody who doesn't really watch a lot of football, is how do you watch a football match, you know? And she, you know, just gets carried away with the camera, basically whatever the camera points, that's where she goes. But how would you watch a football match? Do you watch the play off the ball? Do you watch just the play that's happening on the ball?
No,
or what?
I hate it when the crowd, when they cut to the crowd doing Mexican waves. It's like, no, you know, if you paid that much money to travel all that way to South Africa, why would you be doing a Mexican wave? Why would you not be watching the bloody game? Yeah. It's just like, and why do the people do that? I just don't understand it. I've never understood that. I don't know, I quite like Romero, the Argentinian goalkeeper, was gorgeous. I love the close-ups on him.
Okay. and now the weather. It's going to be hot, close, sweaty. It's going to be so hot tonight, you're going to have to scrape it off the lollipop stand.
The problem, though, with going back to that, the problem with watching football on TV is, again, You don't see everything. You're just seeing what's down that camera lens. You're not seeing the runs. You're not seeing what's going off the ball. That's the only thing. But in saying that, you get to see all the replays. You get to see all the slow motions that you don't.
The slow motion of PK yesterday when he was manhandling the Paraguayan was just, it just dragged it just, every sinew was being dragged, and you saw how much pressure he was putting on the guy's arm to stop him jumping.
Yeah,
it was, you know, you don't normally see, and it was well spotted by the referee to just pick that out of such a crowd of players. It was
absolutely.
I watched quite a few of the matches over in America and on ESPN.
Oh, I bet the commentators are a laugh, aren't they?
Oh, well, Steve McManaman's over there quite a bit.
And he's, I wonder where he's
gone. What was funny about him, I thought, was that he's obviously been trained in how to do American sports commentating, because he slowed down the wackery. He's not so, all right. But what he's done, he's become really gushing about stuff and really, you know when to put the emphasis on a certain word that is so American commentator-esque, you know what I mean? So like, they can see him go, yeah, this guy knows his shit, you know what I mean? But what was great about the ESPN coverage, I thought, was just the camera angles, because they tend to show a lot from sort of the waist down, so you could see the trickery of the football and the talent of the players, you know what I mean? Yeah. Which seemed to bring in then the American viewers. They could see that it wasn't just people just kicking a ball to one guy and kicking, because that was always been their battle cry against soccer.
And it's had the extreme there. Where were you for some of the World Cup games?
I watched the first games in Dubai and Oman, and so I had the Al Jazeera feed, which was brilliant, because they obviously knew that they'd sold all the they sold the rights to all the hotels, and they decided that that's where all the tourists would be watching it. So whenever there was a really good game, they'd just switch the game off for like 15 minutes at a time, and you'd be going mental. Everyone would be running around the bar trying to strangle the landlord. Yeah, come on, get it back on. And there'd be some sort of volleyball going on the screen, and we'd be going, we don't want to watch volleyball, it's the World Cup. And then it would come back on for like 2 minutes, and we'd all go, oh, and everyone would sit down with their pints, and then it would cut again. It was just, they were obviously just winding the Western tourists up. It was fantastic.
Do you think of this modern technology with the camera angles now, you know, the cameras are all over the pitch, you know, and, you know, it's, there's not a, an inch, a bit of grass that hasn't been covered. Do you think that's bringing in more viewers? Do you think it's people who wouldn't normally watch football are becoming enticed by the quality of the camera?
I think the world, I don't think it's the reason, but the world audience is going up. And yeah, most importantly, is in America, the little leagues out there, it's, I think it's the most played sport now by certain children of a certain age. So,
well, in Africa as well. They said that 2 billion watched the game, you know, the Ghana game on Friday. And you sort of go, well, that's fantastic. You know, it's just that they've got now they've got the accessibility to watch in those numbers. And it's just, it's really going to take the game on to another level. Yeah. It will.
Yeah, I was talking to a barman in at the airport in America, in Los Angeles. I had about 2 hours to wait and watch the match with him, and he was really into it. So I got talking to him about, you know, soccer in America and why it sort of trails off. And he's basically going, it's, you know, it's the college thing when sports people go to college to get their degrees. They have to pick a sort of a sport. And soccer isn't really it. It's either going to be basketball or American football or baseball that's going to get them through and get them their grants pretty much, you know. He said once they start focusing on soccer, what you're going to get is just this monster American team, like ex-basketball players. People who would have went to basketball or American football are now going to be goalkeepers in back four. It's just going to be great. All these superhumans from Africa and America fighting each other. We're just going to sit in the sides and watch, really, aren't we?
Yeah. Well, they're doing pretty well. We're in their national team, aren't they? I mean, you know. Yeah. They come along well.
Greg Proops sent me, when we drew 1-1 with them, Greg Proops just sent me a simple text that said, "We beat you by tying."
So where do you think the Italians went wrong? Do you think it just was age? Do you think they were just too old?
Yeah, and I think they just were too overconfident, and then they just panicked, and it was like they just weren't used to it. It was incredible to watch that game. The Slovakia game was just all over them.
I think the most amazing thing has been the French, though. Just that sort of revolution on a training pitch televised. Like, you know, Gil Scott-Heron says a revolution will be televised, but not on a training pitch in South Africa, for God's sake.
Yeah, that was great when you threw the whistle away. Most ineffectual sort of protest.
It was symbolic of something. So it's Anelka started it, but pretty much Evra fanned the flames. Is that what's been touted around?
Yeah, he wasn't happy about not getting the captaincy and just went a bit crazy. But why would you have? I can't understand the mentality of these sportsmen who you know, this is the pinnacle of their career.
Absolutely.
Why would you not be working together? Why would you be pulling it in different directions and destroying this chance to win the most prestigious award of your life? It's just
it doesn't mean as much as it used to, it quite clearly can't
because they get paid more for the club, I suppose. The club competitions are more important to them. This is just an interruption to their summer holidays.
But surely, you know, the romance of going to the World Cup, looking around and seeing the smaller teams who just cannot believe that they're playing at the World Cup.
Oh, I love the way the Japanese play. Japan were just fantastic. They played their hearts out for each other and ran. And you sort of go, why can't England do that? You know, because they're overpaid and they're overtired and they're.
And then overstimulated as well. Do you think it's to the point where it's just so exciting and so great for them?
When the England team were moaning about being sent to their room for an hour after training just to calm down. Did you read that?
No, I didn't read that.
They weren't allowed to, after training, they had to go and they had to sit in their room quietly for an hour and a half. These are like, you know, men in their late 20s. They cannot They cannot just sit still for an hour and a half or pick up a book. You know, they need their,
have a lifelong
they need their PS3s.
At the very least, colour in a book. Just colour in a book. Do you know what I mean? Look at a book. Look at a book. Judge it by its cover. Don't even open the book.
Listen to the play on four. You know, anything. Just, they couldn't. They can't. They were complaining about being locked in their rooms. They weren't even locked in their rooms. They were just told to go to their rooms. But this, to them, was a complete anathema. It was like, we can't do that.
I love the idea that they'd been sent to the rooms and locked in the rooms. I could just see them pacing up and down like Charles Bronson, you know, doing press ups, just, you know, like, oh,
tunneling out, yeah.
Putting posters
to the
up in
a bar with a pool table.
You listen to It'll All Go to Penalties. If you want to get all the links for the Facebook group, Twitter, and iTunes at worldcuppodcast.com. Maradona, what do you reckon? Were you pro or against Maradona for this World Cup?
I think he's a lot of value in a sort of press conference, but as a manager, I think it's a shame for those players because he had probably the best team.
Yeah,
and tactically was just very naive and just didn't. I think he just his team talk was just go out and enjoy yourself, you know, which would have worked if if they'd have been 1-0 up at the start, but once they went 1-0 down, they just didn't know how to sort of play against that.
Yeah,
they didn't know how to, and also, I mean, Tevez has been saying today about how they knew that Germany was just going to play them by hitting them on the break, and yet they didn't actually have a plan to counteract that.
They knew it.
They all went, well, that's how they're going to play us.
Anyway,
they didn't actually go, you know.
It's like being a boxer, isn't it? Going, I know he's going to try and punch me in the head.
Yeah. And,
anyway, let's see what happens.
And who's the guy who plays in Italy? Melito, is it Melito?
Yeah, didn't get on.
Never got on.
I think he got on for one of the group games, about 5-10 minutes.
Yeah, the last of the group games when they'd already qualified. And you sort of go, well, what a waste of a player.
Yeah, bring
because
him on. Yeah.
You've got Messi and you've got Tevez and you've got Mascherano. You've got all these sort of like 5'5" players.
Yeah.
Why not stick the big guy on and just change it about a bit? But he just didn't. So I think, yeah, I mean, it was great to watch him on the sidelines but as a manager, I don't think.
So who do you think is going to win it now, though? Who do you think?
My money's on Germany. I just think it's their year. I think there's something, you know.
I think Spain could still come good. I think Spain could just, if they just hit the right gears, they could take Germany apart and then annihilate Holland.
See, I've had Holland.
Yeah,
that was my second.
What were they like?
Yeah, thank you. I loved it. All of them.
Selfish. They were quite selfish, but do a nice breakfast.
Very tiring.
If you like your meat cold.
Yeah, nice cafes.
I went to one of the Brown cafes, I think. And what about the Brazilian sack and Dunga?
Well, that was
that was on the cards from day one.
They don't take losses very well, do they?
No.
And he's had Socrates, that big argument. Socrates has been having a go at him all the way through the tournament because they played together, didn't they? In the
'82
World Cup. And apparently they didn't get on then because Socrates was always like smoking in the changing rooms. Dunga was always dead against that, so they had this rivalry going on for years. And so as soon as Dunga was made captain, Socrates was like, "You can't do this. He's an idiot," you know. Yeah. So that's where that's come from. But so Socrates must be just laughing his head.
But apart from 45 minutes, Brazil, they played well. They finally got, it looked like they got the
defense
right.
Yeah,
and they gave away two very sort of English goals, but you know, headers.
But you don't want that from Brazil.
You want them to score more goals than the Fabiano shot, that move and the save to go nearly go 2-0 up. I was in a pub watching it, and everyone just spontaneously just started applauding and standing up.
Yeah.
It was amazing how football can do that for a team you're not even really following.
Yeah,
and it's a shame, really, but you know, that's the beauty of football.
Do you think they made a mistake not bringing Ronaldinho?
There wasn't that much experience, was there? There was. And
he's the type of bloke who could change a match, you know what I mean, isn't he? Isn't he? He's got that. He's got a messy quality.
Players on paper that could change a match though already.
Yeah, Rubinho does go missing at times, doesn't he?
But if you had Ronaldinho on the bench,
Yeah.
I just really couldn't understand why they didn't bring him along. Mm. Just a point and laugh at him, you know what I mean? Just a point and laugh at, because you know, he's got that sort of lovely...
Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, that sort of Walt Disney quality about his face, hasn't he? Like, I'm one to talk, but you know what I mean? Laugh just leave it too
Which
hard.
Which dwarf were you?
Spunky. So what do you think were the real reasons for England's campaign imploding? Do you think it was just the tiredness? Do you think it just was the arrogance?
Yeah, and lack of altitude training. And the fights, the infighting, and you know, Terry coming out and saying, you know, we want to change, and him not even being the captain. It's just, you know.
But also, there's been, you know, lots of other teams are allowed to talk to the press and have a half decent relationship with the press. Do you not think that they were kept in cotton wool a wee bit too much and kept away from press, which sort of builds
locked in their rooms?
Yeah, but also it sort of
give them a pub, it builds a paranoia, builds a hotel, and then let them drink, let them go back to the drinking culture of Robson and all that lot. And just, you know, did you see the night in Turin last night with
no, I missed the Gazza's tears.
Gazza's tears. Yeah, it was just and you sort of you see them in the hotel, and they are completely legless. They're having race nights, and Chilton's like passed out on the sofa, and then because the bookie
game or after the
this,
game.
Well, this was all through the tournament. Robson just let them go, you know. If that's the English player's way of doing it, you know, it never hurt. Clough did it at Forest, and you know, Shankly used to allow the whole of the Liverpool team to go drinking. You know, if that's let's get back to drinking football.
Yeah,
well, playing drunk. That's best. That's so the way the English players play best.
But actually, what you need is an alcoholic manager, then, don't you? Because the linker is Clough is an alcoholic. Yeah. Robson loves a drink. Ferguson will be sitting and love. They'll all be having to drink really nice wine, though, won't they? Won't be allowed a lager. They'll have to drink nice wine. I listened to the Desert Island Discs the other week. It's Tony Adams.
Tony Adams. Yeah.
Did you listen to it?
No.
When he talks about his drinking, it was just like, you know, he'd finish a match, it'd be the end of the season, and England were on international duty, and he would pretty much go on a 4-week bender, like literally on a 4-week bender, and just day in, day out.
Stand up comic.
But I mean, like literally, to the point where he's hallucinating and stuff. His wife had left him, he didn't even know she'd left him. And there was he's lying upstairs, like just sweating and hallucinating. And all he can hear downstairs is Squeeze, Black Coffee in Bed playing, which was one of his tracks on the Desert Island Discs. And he goes downstairs and it's not on. And he's trying to get it off the record player, and it's not on the bloody record player, you know. And this is a guy who was England captain and Arsenal captain. And was able to get away with it for years. Nobody pulled him up. So, as you say, there must have been
Bobby
steaming.
Moore used to drink 10 pints after a game, not go home until he'd had 10.
Really?
You know, yeah, it's like we've got this drinking culture. We should just embrace it and stop denying it.
The England team, sponsored by Wetherspoons.
Where they don't show the game.
So who's been your favourite player, Andy?
I don't know. I like Weiser. Is it Slovakia or Slovenia? Slovenian. No, not Slovenian, Slovakian. Weiser, the son of the coach. He was just... the way he just jinked and didn't care about... You know, he was like one of those kids you see in the playground who you just can't get the ball off, you know. He was great. And Contreira of the Portugal, the left-back Portugal player. And Schweinsteiger, which means pig mounter.
Pig carrier, isn't it?
Pig mounter.
Wow. Mm.
Making bacon.
Oh, you can imagine the mother sitting there with the maiden name just going, "So, what's your name again?" Oh, brilliant. Brilliant. Well, I suppose it covers up Schickelgruber. What about you, Mike? What's been your three? Who's been your three?
Oh, God. I've quite liked this young kid Müller that's been playing for Germany. I think he scored. He's looked good. Mm. I think Schneider's had a good tournament again. They're the two that spring to mind, actually. Schweinsteiger was one I thought, again.
Yeah.
I think he was absolutely magnificent against Argentina.
Yeah.
He absolutely ran that midfield, didn't he? You know, and this is, you know, that's a player that's been around a bit as a Schneider. You know, these aren't, you know, from nowhere kind of players, but they've just done it. They've peaked. They've come of age. That's what's so frustrating about the England team. We look at the Gerrards and the Lampards. These players who are now it's their last tournament, you know, the peak of their career, and just didn't do it. Just didn't do it. You can talk about tactics and whatever, but come on, players should be able to, you know, get the game by the scruff of the neck and do something fantastic, like Iniesta, or make that run well. Exactly. Iniesta. Make that run into the box, make that gamble, and it was just so regimented. And I've got to play here, and I'm not moving from this area of the pitch, and this and that and that. And you want to see that sort of, you know, flair, that stuff from nowhere.
Yeah.
That why we all love football, and we just didn't see it from England.
Yeah, it was funny. It was like nearly the opposite. Like the English players were playing brilliant for their teams and then not bothering their arse for their countries. Mm. But yet on the other side of the English players who just, you know, they're nobody in the, you know, playing for Wigan, playing for a wee bit for Fulham, blah blah blah. And then they go and they get the world stage and you think they're gonna bottle it. No, they play out of their skin.
Mm. Well, I've always said that the England team should be picked by, you should just open up, there must be a list of every pub in the country. You just get a pin, stick it in one of the pubs and go, right, this month you're in charge of the England team. And they pick the team and they pick all their favourite players, and you could have like you know, eight people in midfield and one goalkeeper and two forwards. Whatever they pick, that's what goes, and whatever matches happen that month, and then the next month you just pick another pub and go, right, now you're in charge and just see what happens. I think it'd be a laugh, wouldn't it?
It would be a laugh.
I, you know, especially if it, you know, if it was the Prince of Wales in Ash, then we'd have the whole of the Farnborough team playing.
Got a couple of bits of business here. There's a free iPhone app for this podcast, bit.ly/WCP app. That's free. And Twitter, Lee Fletcher, Robert Urgell, Ian Wanklin, and Louise Baines, amongst others, are following this show on Twitter. You can too, @WorldCupPodcast.
Thank you, Mac.
It's quite all right.
That's very good. So, who's going to win the World Cup for you, Mac?
I want Holland to win.
Who do you think?
Germany. Oh, just saying it. Germany. Wow.
Time to forgive.
Never.
Oh, come on.
I'll take Spain.
You think they're going to win?
Or you want them to win? No, I just have a feeling they're going to click against Germany. And once they've beaten Germany, then I think they can easily beat Holland.
Mm. I think the Germans, I'd love the Uruguayans.
Yeah.
You know,
just to stuff everyone up.
Just to throw the ball in the air properly, you know what I mean? Mm.
And they've already won it twice.
Yeah.
Yes, of course. Yeah. What years was that? It was like 1911 and 1842. And it was 750 a side. Okay.
Done
and dusted.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think Omid did well today.
I think he was brilliant.
Yeah,
he was
really, really good.
He's never forgiven me for going to France with the Iranian football team.
Oh, when was that?
Maybe that's why he didn't turn up. 98, I was in France. I followed Nick Hancock, and I made a thing called The Outsiders, a documentary about the Iranian football team, and it was just the best summer of my life. I spent the whole summer training with the Iranian football team, knocking crosses for Abizaida and doing the drills and everything. It was brilliant fun. And I was in Tehran the night that they beat the great Satan 2-1.
Oh, fantastic. And did you learn how to reassemble a Kalashnikov blindfolded in under 4 minutes?
The best one, we were filming near Evin prison one afternoon, and I was the setup was, it was a jokey setup where I was playing PS2 football game with a 6-year-old kid, and this kid was thrashing me in this marketplace, outdoor marketplace, and but it was right next to him in prison. We didn't realise, and the director, who was also the cameraman, said, I want you to turn round really, really slowly now. And I went, no, I'm thrashing him, I'm going to come back. And he went, no, put the game down and turn round. I turned round, I had 16 Kalashnikovs actually in my face. And they
like Indiana Jones.
We'd left the accreditation back at the hotel for saying we were able to film, and they just thought we were filming the wall of Evin prison. We were going to do some political piece, and it was, they sent this because there's three different police forces. They sent the military police to come and arrest us. And so I was frog marched down this hill, and I said to Adam, just keep the camera rolling, because he was holding it sort of waist height. I was going, keep the camera rolling, we'll get some good stuff. He was going, I can't, keep it running. So I'm walking down with the sergeant who's in charge of all these 18-year-old skinheads with Kalashnikovs, and I'm going, that's a nice gun, where'd you get that? Did you get it for Christmas? And Adam's going, shut up. But we spent the night in the prison. In the police cells, but that was one incident. I mean, the Iranian Iranian people were wonderful. It's the same the world over. It's 5% of the country make it horrible to live in, and the 95% of them are just fantastic. We got given so many free pictures and cushions, and like, we couldn't get enough suitcases to bring all the stuff back, because everywhere we went people would give you gifts. And
yeah, no, it is that 5%, but it tends to be that 5% that wears uniforms and carries guns as well, doesn't it? Yeah. So you can see them coming. What do you have to be nice to? Okay, you've been listening to It'll All Go to Penalties. Again, if you want to get all the links for the Facebook group, Twitter and iTunes at worldcuppodcast.com. Quick one before we go, what are you up to, Andy, in the future? What are you up to? What's coming up for you?
I'll be down at the Comedy Store every Wednesday and Sunday for the rest of my life.
Boom. You doing any festivals?
Yeah, I've got Latitude, I've got Nostock on Saturday, and I've got Lounge on the Farm on Sunday, then Latitude the week after that, and then I'm doing Galway and Dublin at the Ivy Gardens Festival, and then I'm off to Edinburgh.
Andy Smart, international comedy gypsy. And what about you, Mike? What are you up to?
I've got Edinburgh coming up. I'm running a venue at Edinburgh, Fringe Le Mans Hotel, with loads of good shows on, including the Cuban Brothers and Phil Cornwell and Guy Pratt. And yeah, so check that out, edfringe.com.
Where are you?
I'm setting up a macrame class in Brixton for ex-offenders. Anyway,
give him my regards.
Thanks very much. Peace and love. Peace and love.
Get all the links for It'll Go to Penalties at worldcuppodcast.com, and get your free £20 bet at paddypower.com/worldcup. Good luck. Get the ball.